We got new delays, Idris Elba casting, and Simu Liu filing back at Disney, all coming up right here on Live Action Remake. Welcome back to Live Action Remake, your source for movie news, TV news, reviews, and recommendations. My name is Diego, and I'm back once again with my good friend, Ricardo. How you doing today, Ricardo?
Good. What's up, man? We got a pretty packed show today.
Absolutely, we do. We're talking What If. We're going into the multiverse and looking at a piece of different Marvel media than the Marvel Cinematic Universe as well. Your choice for this week, I want to specify that up top. Today was not my choice. And of course, all the news of the week. But before we get into it, I want to, we were going to personally apologize to J.R.R. Tolkien? Is that it?
Yeah, that's how you say it.
Tolkien is his full name, I believe. Because we did not know any of the Lord of the Rings stuff, apparently, on a fact check by my friend Haley, who listened in. No good. We don't know a lot. Maybe one day we'll have her in and verify the stuff.
It's going to be a very Lord of the Rings heavy episode when she comes on.
Why don't we get into some news, starting with the first, well, not the first major delay of 2021, but the first one in a while. Venom 2 has been delayed a couple of weeks, about 3 weeks back, to October 15th.
This is a bad sign, man. More movies are scrubbing their release dates, pushing stuff back.
Yeah, and personally, my big worry about this one was Spider-Man, because we don't even have a trailer. And if they push that back like a year, we won't get a trailer forever. We'll never know the plot of this movie, and that's just what it's going to be. So, you know, get vaccinated if you want to see Spider-Man 3. Or if you even want to know the plot.
But that movie doesn't even exist.
No, they filmed it. That's a conspiracy. I don't believe.
That's impossible. I don't believe in Spider-Man 3. I'm a denier. That's my stance politically forever.
Tweet at us if you also believe that Spider-Man 3 does not exist. Let us know what you think. Because it does, and if it doesn't, why are we even here, Ricardo? What is this for? What are we even doing here? In much cooler news, Avatar The Last Airbender has casted its Asian leads for the live-action remake of the show, which means all of the characters are of Asian descent. It's pretty cool. I don't know any of them because they're all children, but that's also a good sign because they're children. The only one of any note is the kid who plays Zuko is the young actor who will be portraying Shang-Chi in the movie, Shang-Chi. He's the younger version of the character in the movie. So that's kind of cool.
I've seen the pictures they put out along with the release, and it's pretty good casting. I think they kind of nailed it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sad that M. Night's not coming back or the original cast, but you know what? I mean, let's just keep it going, you know?
God damn it!
Let's just keep it going. We'll just start at book two, right where he left off, and just continue his legacy. You know, I just want to see the end of that story. You know, do you want to talk a little bit about this next one, Inside Job?
Yeah, it's a new Netflix show from a former Gravity Falls writer. This Cheyenne. It's Shion Takeuchi. She's the showrunner for this one with executive producer Alex Hirsch. It's kind of in the same ballpark as Gravity Falls. A lot of conspiracy stuff. The gist of the show is like it's a kind of like a government organization that's been doing all these conspiracy theories for the past couple years. So anything from, I personally loved Gravity Falls coming up, and I'm definitely going to give this a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. As soon as I read Alex Hirsch, I was like, oh, bet. You know, this is already something I'm into. Like, I think you spoke about it to me. Like, Gravity Falls is one of your favorite animated shows, like top four, I think, something like that, somewhere up there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's Gravity Falls came out when I was like 12, 13, so it struck like right at the perfect moment for me.
Yeah, that's great. I'm totally in. And October 22nd?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Count me in for sure. Ooh, this next one was a little, I don't know how to feel about this one. It's definitely been the talk of, I think, the Twitter sphere so far. Sonic 2 has casted its Knuckles, and it is Idris Elba.
Yeah, boy. Idris.
How do you feel about this one, Ricardo?
British-ass Knuckles? I'm all for it.
The Britishness is really what's throwing me off more than anything. I can't imagine Knuckles with a British accent. I can't.
Do you think they'll keep Idris Elba's accent? You don't think they'll make him change it?
Can he even do an American accent?
Yeah, probably. He's an actor.
I have never seen him not do it, because it's just such a staple of him.
Unless, you know, it's going to be, Oi, Sonic, you won't hand over those Chaos Emeralds!
That's a horrible Idris Elba. It's not a good Idris Elba. I just want to be clear, Ricardo.
That's what all British accents sound like, though.
No, he has such a distinct voice.
Oi, Governor! I'm Idris Elba!
That was a line directly from Suicide Squad, I believe. That was the end of the movie, right?
Did you even see the first Sonic movie?
No, I didn't. I absolutely did not. I did not want to.
Well, guess what, asshole? I did.
I've heard it's fine. Like, I've heard it's absolutely okay and a fun time.
Yeah, if you're into, you know, talking animal movies with James Marsden, it's fine. It could have been worse, I guess.
Look, just like the first I don't think this one's really a controversy, because I just think it's something interesting to talk about. But the first controversy with the original film, like how ugly Sonic looked in that movie, I didn't say anything, because I wasn't going to see it and I don't really care. So much like this one, I mean, Idris Elba's fine, but also I'm not going to see that movie and I don't really care. So it's like, it's whatever. I mean, sure, Idris Elba, cool.
Idris Elba just be doing shit, you know? Cats, now this.
But he also does, he's better than this. I don't know why, but you know what? It could be fun. I don't know. I thought, if you're going to do a Knuckles, I thought the voice I'm thinking of is a Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
People were saying before, you know, the official announcement, get Jason Momoa, bro Knuckles.
That'd be fantastic. Absolutely. Who would you have for, Tails?
Finn Wolfhard.
No, stop saying Finn Wolfhard. Stop it. What is with you and Finn Wolfhard?
He's the only child actor I know.
Right. On to much more important news, Ricardo. Sean Levy, the director of Real Steel, recently in an interview stated that there is a possibility at Real Steel 2. And that Hugh Jackman and himself have had discussions and they're very interested in a sequel. I think we did it. I think it sounds like I told you so, Ricardo.
Yeah, we did it. We brought back Real Steel.
Almost immediately.
I should probably watch that movie now.
Yeah, I mean, we started the campaign. We did hashtag release Real Steel 2. We're doing it. We made it happen. I'm actually pretty excited for a Real Steel 2. And I like Hugh Jackman. So this is actually cool. I'm not entirely joking about this. I think it's fun. So, we talked a little bit earlier about Shang-Chi. And Shang-Chi actor Simu Liu reacted to comments from Disney CEO calling the Marvel film theatrical release an interesting experiment. He went on saying that we are not an experiment. We are, powerful and such. I don't know the exact quote. Do you remember it vaguely? But I know that he was very clear that he's very proud of the movie and very not okay with that comment.
Yeah. Do you know what the full comment is about the experiment? What even prompted that?
I believe they were just doing an interview with him about, how... I'm not sure what, but he said basically oh, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Shang-Chi is an interesting experiment is what he called. He basically said we don't know what's happening, but we're seeing how it is with this movie. We're using this movie to basically see how much money is made without us doing the Disney Plus thing like Black Widow. I guess Black Widow is the first part of the experiment and Shang-Chi is the second part of the experiment, which is pretty awful because those are the only two with diverse leads this year.
It's very easy to see how that can be, you know, taken not talking about the distribution methods and instead take that, oh, do you mean an experiment? What if we put Asian people in a movie? What would happen? We don't know. We're Disney.
I don't even think that's the main problem with the comment. I saw it as we're gonna use these two movies as our experimental phases. The one with Black Widow that, I mean, arguably however you feel about Scarlett Johansson, she deserved that movie way sooner, and she got gypped a lot from that movie. And then now with our first Asian lead, we're experimenting with this movie as opposed to experimenting with a Spider-Man or an Eternals, which I was saying, like, Eternals, even though it is diverse, it has a white lead. So, you know, it's got, like, something that the masses that they think will come to. So it kind of sucks that Disney is experimenting with Shang-Chi, which is my second, like, biggest Marvel movie of the year, in my opinion, besides Spider-Man. Like, that's the one I'm, like, very excited about. It's trash, but Simu Liu has a really awesome track record of just talking shit back to these people. Like, I don't know if you know what he was talking about, Kim's Convenience.
I did see the article about Kim's Convenience. I don't know his exact comments about it, though.
Basically, the show got canceled, and it was because they just didn't want to do, like, Asian characters anymore. They wanted to do a spinoff with one of the white characters.
Bro, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, they're doing the spinoff. Like, they're doing the spinoff with this white character. And these the main, like, creators, like, they've had, like, the creator was Asian, but, like, the guys behind him are white. And I think when, I don't know if that guy left, I don't know exactly what happened, but these two white guys basically gained control of the show, and, like, Simu Liu was not very happy about that. And then when they canceled the show, they kind of put it on the fact that, like, the dad in the show is on, like, The Mandalorian, and, like, Simu Liu got casted in Shang-Chi. So it was like, oh, all these stars are moving away from the show. So they ended the show. And Simu Liu was not happy about that. He was like, no, we didn't end the show. Y'all ended the show because you guys wanted to spin off a white character instead of maybe one of the many Asian characters that are on the show. Like, it was on you. And he has been very vocal about that. So I really appreciate him. He's been using his Marvel stardom to, like, bring some light on this subject. So it's pretty cool that he's, even though he is kind of attacking Marvel, he's still doing it. He's not shutting up, which is cool. Emma Stone is coming back for Cruella. Emma Stone has confirmed that she's coming back for Cruella 2.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Cruella 2, Tuella, it's official. Is that just 101 Dalmatians again? Probably, right? Well, what else would you do for a Cruella 2?
How many 101 Dalmatian movies are there?
You talking like the animated one and the live action ones?
The animated ones. We'll say the animated ones. I think there's two of them, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll skip those two and we'll go Cruella 2 is actually 103 Dalmatians, semicolon, right? What's the one with two dots?
That's colon.
That's colon. Okay, I was tweaking for a second. Tuella. Bam.
I remember there was talk when this movie originally came out. I read this somewhere where they had an idea, like, what if they did it kind of like The Godfather?
What?
Where it switches perspectives from old Cruella to young Cruella. And it kind of goes back and forth between, you know, the Glenn Close character, which is the older classic Cruella, and then Emma Stone's kind of in her year two in the middle of her origin Cruella.
Oh my God. That's interesting. I thought, this is just a different tangent, but, like, I thought when they casted Emma Thompson, I think, like, either the wording of the article was weird, because it was under the assumption that it was going to be narrated by Emma Thompson, who was that world's Cruella. And then Emma Stone was going to play the young version of that Cruella. I thought that was going to be the movie, but that's not what it was. So, I mean, I'm kind of down for what you're saying. Like, sure, why not? Also, I don't care that much about this one either. Like, I liked Cruella 1, but that's because I came in with no expectations and no movies were coming out at the time. So, I don't know how much it'll hold up now after, like, In the Heights and all these other good movies this year, you know?
Yeah, I saw Cruella. I'd give it, like a B.
Yeah, Emma Stone was great. I think people wanted to compare it to Joker, but more I compare it to, like, a Venom, where it's like the main character's good. It's weird. It has a feel to it that I know what they were going for, but I don't know if it entirely works, and I don't know if a sequel is warranted. But they're doing one anyway, so yeah, it's more like a Venom in my opinion.
Speaking of Disney's hunger for sequels,
doing Free Guy 2. With Ryan Reynolds. Well, at least Disney says they want one.
Just came out and already they're demanding Free Guy 2. Freer Guy.
I've only heard good things about this, and I've actually been kind of hyped to see this one. So I'm down. I like Ryan Reynolds. I get that he can be a little annoying, but overall I'm here for it. Sony is looking to drop Hotel Transylvania 4 on streaming and onto Amazon. Any thoughts on you? Are you a big Hotel Transylvania, like, stan? Like,
damn, there are four of these bitches now?
I assume you put this on the dock because you cared about this. You don't even know how many there are. Why are we talking about this, Ricardo?
Have you seen the Hotel Transylvania movies, though?
No, it's an Adam Sandler movie. Why would I watch that movie? Absolutely not.
You haven't seen any of them?
No. The cast is just all of his friends. That's a really bad sign.
I'll give you this. The only one that's kind of alright is the first one.
Okay.
Everything after that, you can just kind of continue with your life, how it's going. I want to talk about this more so just because, again, this is a bad sign for movies in general. That things are starting to, you know, get pulled again. Things are dropping to streaming. Delta variant, man, get vaccinated. I can't do this anymore.
We were so close. We're back in theaters. We saw the Suicide Squad. We can't go back. We're already here. Please, let's just move forward now. And I do think this mainly applies to animated movies, which is unfortunate because I think I would have loved to see like Mitchell's versus the Machines in theaters. That was an awesome movie. And it seems like all the animated Luca, which was also great. I think Soul would have been cool in theaters, but they just dropping these guys all on streaming just because of the blatant disrespect for animators that has been seen in the past couple of weeks. And I don't know if you saw that comment about What If that got changed on the like MCU Direct.
No, what happened with that?
So they put out an article, like it was their review article, right? And the MCU Direct, they basically just cover like Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff, and I'm paraphrasing here. You can go ahead and look. There's definitely screenshots, but it was like, despite the fact it is animated, What If tells an amazing like story to begin season one. And then it was like our review. That was the tweet. And then it had the link or whatever. And they had to, people were tweeting it and being like, despite the fact that it's animated, I'm pretty sure it's because it's animated.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
It's so shitty. Like, I don't know why this keeps happening. Like, how did you put Luca on Disney Plus, but you did premium access for freaking Jungle Cruise? Like, what is wrong with you? Like, what is happening?
There's so much I want to say. I could really go on a whole big tangent about the history of animation and its cultural perception and why people, even still to this day, view it as a medium solely for children. But that's a whole other tangent that involves a whole lot of history, so we're not going to get into that right now.
Come back next week where I egg on Ricardo to go on that tangent. It's going to be fun. I'm going to poke. I'm going to get him there.
I'll turn this into an animation history class. Don't tempt me.
Okay. This one I don't know much about, but just reading it, Ricardo, I'm not happy about this. I don't even want to say this.
I thought we were going to skip this one.
They are making a movie about the Weinstein investigation called She Said. Isn't Harvey Weinstein behind this, though? Or am I thinking of something else?
What? I don't believe it. I thought we were going to talk about Cha-Cha Real Smooth.
No, I'm not talking about Cha-Cha Real Smooth. No, I'm not doing this.
Fine. We won't talk about Cha-Cha Real Smooth, the Dakota Johnson movie coming soon to theaters near you.
Now we have to talk about... Ricardo found an article about this movie called Cha-Cha Real Smooth. We're going to do this now, Ricardo. We have to do this now. It's already recording. Cha-Cha Real Smooth with Dakota Johnson. It's going to have Leslie Mann. It's going to have Brad Garrett. I don't know who else. The reason why Ricardo put it on the docket is because he liked the title of the movie, Cha-Cha Real Smooth. I don't even know what it's vaguely about. I don't know why we're talking about it.
And I'm going to watch this movie solely for that reason.
Okay, to go back to the Harvey Weinstein movie, they're making a movie about the Weinstein investigation called She Said. I thought I saw something about this, but I thought it was Harvey Weinstein was making the movie, which is why I didn't want to talk about it. But I don't know if he is now, so I have to look this up. I hope not.
I don't think he's allowed to do that anymore. It's based on the book by Jody Cantor and Megan Toohey. There's been some casting news, and it's a Captain Holt, Andre Bauer. He's been cast in it, so it's, you know, it's slowly building a pretty good cast. At least that's a good start to one.
That's good. I mean, yeah, my bad. I thought it was like his side. I thought he was trying to do a his side of the story type of movie, and I was like, absolutely not. Get out of here, please. No, I don't want to see that. No one get on board that movie. What? No, that's what I thought it was. But no, that's awesome then. Okay, cool. I love him. I mean, have you seen the new Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yeah, I saw the first two episodes of season 8 that they put out.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of the first episode. I've been catching up on shows. We'll talk about it a little bit more when we get to recommendations, but I'm really excited to catch up on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Do you want to talk about this Warner Brothers Animation Cartoon Network Studios deal?
Yeah, sure. It's it's from comedian Wyatt Cenac, which I personally am a pretty big fan of. He's got a really good stand-up special on Netflix. He's got Wyatt Cenac's Problem Areas, a tragically short-lived show. It's on HBO Max if you want to check that out. But he's got a crossover studio deal with Warner Brothers Animation now. He's developing, all sorts of things in different, kind of age areas. So, like, he's developing, adult animation, feature film, stuff for kids. It's a pretty good deal overall. And, I'm always up for more Wyatt Cenac.
Hey, sounds awesome. I'm down. You said the special was on HBO Max?
He's got a show that lasted about 2 seasons. It's called Wyatt Cenac's Problem Areas. That's on HBO Max, where he takes a problem, societally, and just kind of examines it and how it affects, everyday life. Season 1 was all about policing, and season 2 was about education.
Oh, cool.
Which, I watched both of those. They're very good, very funny, very similar to Last Week Tonight.
Love Last Week Tonight.
He's got a stand-up special called Brooklyn on Netflix, which I think is really funny.
I will definitely check that out, because I like a good stand-up. Sounds good. And this last bit of news was also what Ricardo, you were just taking over the news feed today, and you got a couple of good ones. I think this might be the best one. Marlon Wayans says that it is time for White Chicks 2. Not only that it's time, that it's necessary. You want to break this one down a little bit?
I'm trying to understand. For whatever reason, he was in an interview and the topic of White Chicks came up. And he's of the mind that, it's time now in the world we live in. It's necessary for a White Chicks 2. Exact quote, "I think we've tightened up so much that we need to loosen our ties a bit and laugh a little bit." Apparently Marlon and Sean have plenty of ideas for a sequel. The world just keeps giving us more. White Chicks 2 is writing itself.
No, it isn't. Let's not. How about we just don't? How about it's a weird movie in hindsight and we don't need a sequel to it?
Did you watch White Chicks? Have you seen it?
I have. I didn't like it. I thought, how does no one know that they're not white people? Like, how do you not tell that they were not white women? Like, I don't know. It's a weird movie. I also don't think cross-dressing as a joke is fun or cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's in movies. Like, it's kind of outdated.
I don't know how I didn't think of that. Yeah, that's going to be a very fine line to walk around.
Yeah, I think Mrs. Doubtfire even is, like, a little, like, weird. And that's, like, this one's to, like, another level. I don't think it's cool. And I don't think it's... I don't even think that movie's funny. So it's, like, it's not even, like, ooh, but it's funny at least. I don't think it's a good idea.
White Chicks is bad, and I think the only reason no one has acknowledged this is because the only memory people have of White Chicks is all the Terry Crews scenes, and those are the only good parts of that movie, because Terry Crews carries the entire film on his muscular, muscular back.
I was about to say, the only thing I remember is him singing in the car, like, na 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 na, I need you, na na na. I was like, yeah, good stuff. Terry Crews is always great. But yeah, that's all the news we had for the week. If you want more news, you can follow us at Live Action Remake on Instagram and Facebook. So yeah, check it out. All right, Ricardo, now we are going on to the first episode of Marvel's What If. This is going to contain spoilers because the episode is not very long and I don't know how you can get into this without spoilers. So spoiler warning, if you haven't seen it, go ahead and check it out on Disney Plus right now. The first episode is streaming. Go ahead and check it out. We're going to review it right here.
Every universe is different. Each one unique. Journey to face the unknown and ponder the question.
All right, Ricardo, what did you think of Marvel's What If Captain Carter were the first Avenger?
It's fine. I liked it. It's a good start for an anthology.
Yeah, it was cool. I thought it was very brisk. It was very fast. It was surprisingly quick. And I think it's weird for me because I have seen like the first Avengers several times. Like I know that movie pretty well, and you cramming 2 hours into half an hour, and so you're skipping a lot of parts. This episode relies on the fact that you know that movie. And you know the general story of Steve Rogers.
Yeah, I think most people do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it's so quick. It was so quick that I feel like I was like, did I just see the whole episode? Was that the whole thing? How do you feel about the animation style? You're an animator, so I just wanted to, like, from your perspective, what did you think of it?
It took me, honestly, a little bit to get used to it. There are some times where it's like the models don't exactly look right when they're standing still, but you know, once you know the action kicks in and you know they start moving, I think it's got a really good look to it. I think it's very fluid. I remember whenever the explosions would happen on screen, I think those, for whatever reason, I really liked those, the way those were done.
Absolutely. I think this style of animation works really well for the action. I do. Yeah, I think the moments that I found it weird when you're just staring at the character and they're just talking, I think that part kind of threw me off a little bit. But the action, especially I think with Captain Carter just like moving her shield around, was it was pretty cool, and I don't think you can do that as well in live action. So that was dope.
Yeah, the action choreography in this is actually really good. I loved that the montage with the old timey like horn music.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing about this episode, I think, compared to the first Avengers, that it feels more 40s stylized. Like there's a lot more of the music and Howard Stark, they just dialed him up to like 110. Like they just went you're a cartoon character. And I was talking, and I'm in a group chat with you and our friends, and they went, is that a different voice actor? No, that's Dominic Cooper. That's the same guy from the movie. He's just doing a whole different character, in my opinion, and I love it. I thought it was fantastic.
Oh yeah, I want more of this Howard Stark.
Yeah, he was great. Were there any standout characters from this episode? Of course, probably Captain Carter. She was great, right? Like, she's a lot more fun than I think Peggy's ever been.
Was she not fun before?
No, Peggy's always been cool. Like, she's always been a cool, awesome character to have around. But she's always serious because she needs to be taken seriously.
But now, you know, she can crush anyone that gets in her way. So she can loosen up a little, you know?
Yeah, she got a lot of the jokes in this episode. I feel like she had, like, a little bit more, like, she got to show a little bit more of her affection, like, even for Steve Rogers. Like, she was very more into Steve Rogers than I think Peggy was in the first movie. But I think that might be just because she can show her emotion a little bit more now that she is a super soldier and people have to take her seriously. She doesn't have to hide how she feels. So I was like, I'm down for this version of Peggy Carter, who's just having a little bit more fun with it.
I like the character of Captain Carter. I think this is a good episode, but I will say whenever she was like standing next to anybody, especially Steve, I couldn't help but laugh a little bit. She's so big. She's so big.
Oh, she's so much bigger than he is. It was pretty funny. Also, I gotta say this, and I think you might agree with me on this. Captain Carter, if she was fighting First Avenger Steve Rogers, would have destroyed him. Would have absolutely annihilated him. Would have killed Chris Evans, Captain America, in that first movie. She's way better with the shield immediately. She's way stronger than, like, immediately. Like, she already knows how to do. First Avenger, I like that movie. I have nothing wrong with that movie. But Captain America in that movie has no cool choreography yet. He has not learned how to fight yet. He's literally just mostly, like, tackling people with a shield and hitting people with a shield. That's pretty much all he does. So this version knows how to fight. And it really made me think, and I don't know if it made you think this, but I was like, why didn't anyone say, hey, why don't we get Peggy? Like, why don't we use Peggy? She's a good person.
Because it was the 40s, Diego. And she's a Goyle. You can't put a Goyle on the battlefield. This is the 40s. I'm an asshole.
She's already on the battlefield, though. That's the thing, is that she fights right beside him. And I guess, like, the whole logic behind Erskine, who you get the feel for in this movie, like in the first movie, that he is just like this genuinely good person who genuinely wants good people to be like the super soldier. He didn't even consider Peggy. Like, he should have been the one to consider Peggy, if anyone, and he didn't, which is awful. Let's talk about some of the other characters. There are two characters who technically got recast. The first one's the biggest one. Chris Evans got Captain America, was recasted as Josh Keaton, who you may know from the Spectacular Spider-Man. Could you even tell that it wasn't Chris Evans?
I was going to say, yeah, no, he does a really good Chris Evans impression.
Yeah, I didn't even hear any Spider-Man in it. It was good. He did a good job. I was here for it. He is the Hydra Stomper in this one. That is apparently like an Iron Man suit powered by the Tesseract, which is pretty cool. I was here for it. It was a lot of fun. It, to me, the two things about Steve that didn't work for me, and again, it's because this episode is so quick. Like, they couldn't build into this, but Steve was never that smooth. Not in the first Avenger. He's way smoother in this. he's hitting on Peggy, and she's into it, and he does it too well, and that was not Steve. Before the serum, that wasn't even Steve after the serum in the first Avenger. He gets, like, a little bit more confident, I'd say, in, like, Avengers Winter Soldier.
This is what if scrawny Steve Rogers was also smooth as fuck? That's the other alternate title for this episode.
What if Steve Rogers had game? Because he does. He has, like, he's making the moves on it. And I'm like, Jesus. Like, Steve was never like this. Steve would have been spilling his drink over, like, all over himself. The other one that got technically recast, do you know who the other character is I'm talking about?
Is that not Sebastian Stan?
No, that's Sebastian Stan. It's a technicality, but Red Skull is voiced by the actor from, yeah, Infinity War and Endgame, which I'm like, can we give a little bit of love to Hugo Weaving? Like, he did a, I think he did a pretty good job in that movie. I'm like, come on, what's going on?
That's because Hugo Weaving doesn't like Marvel.
Is that true?
He's kind of known a little bit for being in, like, movies like this, and then retroactively saying, like, I am an actor, that's such bullshit, why did I even, I did it for the money. Like, he was in one of the Transformers movies, and he's Red Skull. That's why he's not in Infinity War.
Did you hear all the controversy around Sebastian Stan in this episode?
He's barely in this episode. What did he do?
People don't think he's a good voice actor. So I guess they just don't like it. They don't think he's very funny.
Hey, Sebastian Stan, you know that character you've been playing for like 7 years? You're bad at it.
To be fair, he's only Bucky for literally like one movie, and then after that it's basically a different character from then on. But they really try to turn up the jokes with him, and I rewatched this. I don't think they're bad. I think they're very 40s, like they're very like, huh, I think I know him too. Like, it's like, I don't know, I wasn't against it. It wasn't really noticeable. I did not laugh at any of his jokes though. How did you feel about the ending to this?
Oh, where we get Peggy's version of getting trapped in ice. She gets teleported to the first Avengers movie.
I didn't expect that they were going to do like a version of that. I assumed that Peggy would just win the war because Peggy's just better than Steve. I just assumed that much. And the fact that she had an Iron Man on her side, I was like, oh, these two are going to wreck shop. These two are going to kill Red Skull. It's going to be great. But yeah, they teleport her. They bring in a character that many people believe is a Doctor Strange villain, but that has yet to be confirmed. What is his name again?
It's some kind of nonsense selection of syllables. It's like Sumagurath, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. He's a lot of people believe that's the main villain of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Just like a big tentacle, a monster that is also a wizard, that is just a big crazy monster. So that's what they think Peggy was fighting. But yeah, they got pulled into the first Avenger. You know who did a bad line reading in this episode? Jeremy Renner. Jeremy Renner did a bad line reading in this episode.
Is that the real Jeremy Renner?
I think it is, yeah. I think everyone who's on Disney Plus is on this in the show. They're like, they got back Sebastian Stan, they got back Jeremy Renner, Samuel L. Jackson, like all of them. All of them are back for sure.
What if Hawkeye did something? Episode 7 coming to Disney Plus soon.
He's gonna get a show. It'll be fine. You know what I think they really should do? I think they should have used What If to introduce, like, a Shang-Chi or, like, Eternals character in the episode already. Like, to just kind of tease it. I think that would have been cool. But No, it's whatever. This episode, I think it was really fast, and I think it didn't surprise me that much because of the fact that it is almost a one-for-one of the first Avenger. It hits a lot of the same beats. I'm hoping that next week's Star-Lord Chadwick Boseman won't hit all the same beats and it'll be a little bit more different. I don't know. How did you feel about it?
Well, I have some criticisms for this episode, just from a writing standpoint. I'm not a big fan of when your main character is female and all the dialogue has to really hammer it home about, you know, what a girl? You can't do that. Women on the what? And that's what that, I think it was Bradley Whitford, his whole character was that, just to be the straw man asshole from the 40s who hates women.
Yeah, he's a returning character though, right?
He is?
Yes, this is a deep cut. This is a deep, deep cut. So in Marvel used to do these things called Marvel One-Shots, where they were basically like small mini-stories on the DVD that you could put in. There's like several with Phil Coulson. There's some that are just about like these two that steal a Chitauri weapon after the events of Avengers. Like, there's a couple of good ones. They did one called Agent Carter. That was kind of like the first thing they did before Agent Carter, the TV show. And in that one, Bradley Whitford is her boss, and he has like an assignment to get some, like to get the secret emerald thing or something like that. And he won't give it to Peggy, so Peggy steals it, the file, and then goes and does the mission by herself. So he has a history with not trusting Peggy Carter.
I'm really not a fan of super on the nose dialogue like that when they're very clearly trying to make a point. It's like, you don't need to do that. Just say, let her be awesome. I think that speaks for itself. You don't really need, you know, this straw man character. But, you know, it was the 40s. There were definitely people like that. So it's not like it's unrealistic. There's still people like that.
I do think it was like more overt back then. So I get why he's in it. I think he doesn't come around. He never comes around. And that's the part that I don't like. Like, just, there should have been a point where he's like, you know what, I was wrong, in the same way that Chester Phillips didn't like Steve, and eventually he came around to Steve. But they don't do that for her, which is stupid, because she's better than Steve, as I've made very clear. She's much more effective than Steve was. Yeah, any other criticisms?
Steve should have been some version of the Winter Soldier, and they were cowards to not go through with it. That's my criticism.
Yes! Absolutely. Yes, that would have been amazing. That could have been like one of the endings. Like, because I think we've all come to the same conclusion that this show isn't going to be just disconnected stories. It is going to come together at one final point somehow. And I would have loved it if Steve as the Winter Soldier was part of that finale where Peggy has to fight an evil version of Steve Rogers as her Winter Soldier. Fantastic. That would have been amazing and much sadder than Bucky and Steve.
Instead of losing an arm, maybe he just can't get out of the suit. I don't know. He's just like that now, forever.
Oh, I was more down for like a super, like give him a super soldier serum, give him the mask and everything. That's why she doesn't know it's him until the mask falls off. It's like, he's so much bigger. Like, he's a big dude. I have one small like nitpick that I was thinking about doing this episode, Ricardo. So hear me out. Like, you're in the 40s, right? And you're like, I don't know, like a pilot or like an armed force general or something, like, I don't know, like someone who has been training their whole life to fly heavy machinery, and they get this prototype armor out of that they just made and go, no, we're giving it to that kid from Brooklyn who literally has never done anything in his entire life. He's a good man. Wouldn't you be pissed? I feel like there's a long line of people who should have been wearing that armor before Steve. Like, it's not like the super soldier serum. Like, it's not going to make you better. It's just an armor. Give it to a better soldier. But I don't know. That was just me.
Overall, like we said, this is a pretty good start to, you know, the What If show. I'm into it. I want to see where this goes. Right now, I want to say, over under, how long do you think it's going to take for the Watcher to interfere? Because his whole thing is like, I am the Watcher, I only observe from afar, never to interfere. Uatu the Watcher interferes all the goddamn time.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm going to go, episode 4. I don't even know what the episodes are. Like, I generally know what they are, but I don't know the order. So I'm going to say 4 is where I'm going to say he's going to come in and start to interfere.
I'll say 6, a sort of midway point. At some point, he's going to interfere. There's no way he's not.
Is there a character that you're pretty excited about seeing in the next? Like, because there's a couple that have already been announced. Is there, like, a favorite of yours that you're pretty excited for the show?
I really want to see how they're going to do Marvel Zombies.
That is going to be pretty cool. My theory is it's going to be a version of Infinity War. Like, that's going to be that episode. Because every episode is a version of one movie. So, like, that's the premise of this show, is that every episode is going to be a premise of one particular movie. So I think that one's going to be Avengers Infinity War. I want to see post-apocalyptic Black Widow. That's one of the only other characters that's being recasted for the animated show. And I think that's a version of where Ultron wins. I kind of want to see what that's like. She's been recast as Lake Bell from Harley Quinn, the animated series.
I think that kind of wraps us up on this episode of What If, but we're still going through the multiverse, you know? Reality is a prism with branching timelines. What if Marvel were an anime?
Outcast by his government.
As of now, priority one is capturing the fugitive Iron Man.
Hunted by his team.
Give up, Stark. We're gonna take you in whether you like it or not.
Helped by his friends.
War Machine, thank you.
Sorry, guess I must have overslept.
Are you gonna be okay?
I'll be fine.
Says the Playboy billionaire, who makes things go boom.
That's it, pal. Playtime is over.
Iron Man, Rise of Technovore. Own it on Blu-ray and DVD.
We had an idea, Ricardo and I, to go through the Marvel multiverse with this Marvel What If. Since the episode was going to be so short, we were going to tackle different parts of the Marvel universe, different TV shows, different movies that are not a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I, unfortunately, gave Ricardo the first pick, so he decided that we were going to do an Iron Man-ime called Iron Man Rise of Technovore, which you haven't seen because no one has.
It was one of two Marvel anime movies that they made. I figured, you know, that sounds interesting. I'll give that a shot. It was between this and the other one, which was Avengers Confidential or something, Black Widow Punisher.
What is with these animes and Black Widow and Punisher? I don't know why they're so big on these two. Iron Man Rise of Technovore, you wanna break this down? Not spoiler warning, I guess, if you care about this movie. If you're really big on the 2013 Iron Man anime film, go watch it on a streaming service. You could buy it, or you can illegally get it. That's how we did it. Ricardo, what is the general plot of Iron Man Rise of Technovore?
Tony Stark, Iron Man, he's launching satellites up in space on some, you know, Elon Musk shit. But oh no. There's an evil guy. He's like Iron Man, but it's the evil Iron Man. It's Technovore, aka Ezekiel Stane, who's seemingly kills Rhodey, trying to take over Stark's tech. Stark's also on the run from, S.H.I.E.L.D. All sorts of stuff's going on. It's anime.
Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. sends in Hawkeye and Black Widow, and Iron Man also meets up with the Punisher of all people in this movie, which is the weirdest add to, in my opinion, and they try to take down Technovore, which is, yeah, Ezekiel Stane, the son of Obadiah Stane, the Ironmonger. Quick question, Ricardo. Is this movie MCU? Because it appears to be that Obadiah Stane, the way he died, is the same way he dies in Iron Man, the movie. Like, do you notice that too?
Is that not just how he dies in canon?
I don't really know. I don't think he dies in canon, or at least like not like officially where he'll never come back, but they had him, he looked a lot like Jeff Bridges, so I don't know if that's on purpose or not.
You know, who is to say? Who knows?
Well, this may be a part of the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse, or maybe they were just like trying to make it feel like it was tying into Iron Man. Either way, it definitely reminded me of an Iron Man 3 or a Age of Ultron, because they don't use Rhodey. They just decide not to use Rhodey in this movie. I don't know why no one likes War Machine that much. I mean, whatever. They decide to go, he's gonna team up with Punisher instead, which is so weird.
Neither of us have seen this movie. Give me your thoughts. What are your thoughts on seeing this movie for the first time?
I had to watch this movie in splices because I kept going, I can't do this. I can't watch this. Look, I like anime. There's one anime I really like, My Hero Academia. I like the art style of anime. I think it's really cool, and I think the action in this is pretty cool. I think the general writing can be cringy, especially when they are talking to women or about women. And those were the parts that made me go, I have to stop watching this right now. I can't stand this.
I don't remember those parts. What happened?
He has like a scene with Pepper where he's like trying to smash, and it's really weird, and I hate that. I don't know why he talks to her like that. Pepper is very much like, oh, I don't know, like she's super dumb in like a flirty way, and I don't like that. Pepper's not like that at all in any canon. There's a moment where Hawkeye is like, hey, we're gonna take you in, we're gonna take you to see the boss finally, and Tony goes, I'll go in but only with her, and he points at Black Widow, and Black Widow giggles. And that's not something Black Widow would do. Black Widow wouldn't be flattered by that comment. Black Widow would kick his ass after that. But they treat women like...
Yeah, man. It's an anime.
It's weird. I don't like that. Other than that, there's the other thing about an anime, and I understand that I love the superhero genre, and the superhero genre can be brought down to, like, be taken down to, like, points by points that, like, every movie hits these beats or whatever, but every anime hits the beat of like the villain is almost unstoppable, and there's a moment where the hero is throwing everything at him and the guy's not even moving, and it's like, this isn't interesting to me. And there's parts of this movie where this guy, he's like, he's so fast, he's so amazing, like they're flying by him and he's just complimenting the villain and how amazing he is and how can I stop him. And I don't find that kind of action very fun. I want something with a little bit more stakes, and like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty much on the same page as you. There are some action sequences in this that are, I think, pretty cool. Isolated on their own, as part of a broader narrative, this movie kind of falls apart because its pacing is kind of dog shit. It's the first, like, half hour of the movie, and it feels like we landed in the middle.
There's also just, I feel like, they're using Technivore wrong. I feel like this isn't who Technivore is. If you wanted to do this movie, make it Ultron. That's basically who this villain is more like than anybody else. But at least the Technivore I know is like an actual, like, living, like, eating machine. Like, it eats technology, and it'll, like, incorporate that into itself. And it's like a more of a monster than a person. So I didn't like how they used him. I think that it could have been this guy using Ultron, and then Ultron's kind of taking over his body. I think that would have made more sense with what they were doing, but it wasn't that at all. So I didn't like Technivore. I didn't like the kid. I didn't like the kid villain. I found him a little weird.
Yeah, I don't really know what his deal was.
I still don't really know what he was trying to do. I don't know what his... What was his end game? I don't get it.
Another thing, just watching this movie, I really wanted to, like, go in and turn down the white balance or something, just because I don't know how you light an animated movie so bad, but everything is blown out. This is this white light on everybody.
Yeah, it's a lot to look at. I wasn't a fan of that part. There's also moments in the film, and I don't know if this ever happens to you, where you're like, did I hit the volume button? Is because there was just nothing. There was no sound. There was no sound going on at all. Not like a wind breeze or anything on the... There was just like no sound going on. I was like, why is there no sound? And it was just because no one was talking at the moment. This is also another nitpick, maybe. The voice actor for Hawkeye is wrong. He's not doing a good Hawkeye. He's just not doing... He's very annoying. Hawkeye's not cool, but he's not annoying either. He's somewhere in the... He's not that, like, much of a douchebag.
Isn't that what Hawkeye sounds like? That was fine.
No, absolutely not. No. Jeremy Renner is more of a normal dude who thinks he's a... Like, it's a normal dude who thinks he's a little bit cooler than he is, and he just isn't. He's not a douchebag. I think when you go into voice acting... Sometimes, you see a character, you break it down to his basics, and you pick an actor who can be like, okay, well, Hawkeye's kind of a douchebag, so we're going to get a douchebag actor. It doesn't always work. It's not always good. Like, it's got to have a little bit more layers to it.
Man, Troy Baker's taking a beating this conversation.
I'm sorry, Troy Baker. You do a good Joker. I think you also do Superboy. If you don't, you do something on Young Justice, and I'm sure it's fine. And because I don't have that many gripes with the Young Justice, but that's all I got for you. I can't think of anything else you do, Troy Baker. I'm sorry.
Speaking of actors, you know who played the Punisher in this?
Norman Reedus.
Yeah, it's your boy Daryl from The Walking Dead.
Which was not bad. That was cool. I didn't have problems with The Punisher. I thought The Punisher was fine. It's just a weird inclusion. It's just like, we're doing an Iron Man thing and Punisher is here? That is like the one of the least connected characters to Iron Man? I don't know why he's in this movie.
You gotta set him up for his other movie.
I'm not watching that, Ricardo. This better not be your pick in 2 weeks.
You sure? You don't want to watch Avengers Confidential, : Black Widow, and Punisher?
No, I don't think those characters are that connected either. Why are they doing stuff with Punisher in this universe? I don't know.
Thor and Hulk are also in it.
Why? Why aren't they in this? What is happening? It's weird. It's not a bad cast. Norman Reedus is a good voice actor. I think the guy who plays Iron Man, he's also in My Hero Academia. He does a lot of anime voice work. He's a good voice actor. Good for him. But the movie is just, I don't know the villains. I still can't tell you what the villain was going for. The animation was good in spurts, but not always. I don't know. I didn't have a fun time. I think I had more fun with Suicide Squad Hell to Pay than this movie, which is saying something.
Maybe you would have preferred the Iron Man anime series, because there is one of those.
No, absolutely not. I'll watch Iron Man Armored Adventures again before I watch that. I'm not doing any of this.
This is a direct follow-up to that show. Maybe if you saw the whole thing in context, maybe you'd have a different opinion.
No, I think I'm good. I think I'm absolutely fine.
There's so much to the world of Marvel anime to explore. There's also the Wolverine show, the X-Men show, the Blade show.
If I knew this is where it was going, Ricardo, I don't think I would have pitched the idea of just Marvel multiverse stuff. But you know what? I guess we're just doing Marvel anime. But overall, like, I guess you didn't have a good time either with this movie?
I'll be honest, I was kind of drifting in and out of consciousness while I was watching this movie.
Oh my god, same. I was trying to stay up because of the noise. It was not a good time. I don't recommend getting this for free anywhere or paying for it anywhere. Just watch more better Iron Man stuff. This was not fantastic.
The best we can recommend is watch some of the action sequences on YouTube. They're over in like 2 minutes, and then you can go about your business.
Yeah, that should be absolutely fine. Watch the trailer. I think you'll get the general gist of what this movie is. It's nothing very special. There are better animated Marvel things to look at, and this was not a gem. But Ricardo, get ready for next week. You know why?
Why?
Because I get the pick. And because you picked something that we both haven't seen, I'm also picking something we both haven't seen. And because you picked something that is several years too late, I also picked something that's several years too late. We're watching New Mutants.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm so excited now.
Yes. This is going to be fun, guys. We're going to come back with some New Mutants with all these young stars in their prime. It's going to be great. We're going to see how the X-Men universe really ended. We'll see how it goes. And that is all for our multiverse. Come back next week for New Mutants. All right, Ricardo, let's finish off with a couple of recommendations. You got anything this week?
Yeah, you know what? I'm switching it up. I'm recommending a novel. I'm recommending a book.
Whoa.
I just finished Seth Rogen's new book, Yearbook. Which, it's full of wild stories just from Seth Rogen's past and from, you know, his dealings throughout Hollywood. It's definitely written in his voice. You can kind of hear it in your head as you're reading along. And I just think it's also just really well written. It's very entertaining. It's full of just bananas stories, even one involving George Lucas. And how it's very strongly implied that he definitely believed the world was going to end in 2012.
That's dope. I love Seth Rogen. I think he's a fantastic creator. So, yeah, I haven't read in a while, so I think that might be good for me. I'm down for that.
Wait, Diego, I'm going to let you in. Oh, a little secret.
Oh, yeah. What's up?
I didn't technically read this book. I got the Audible version.
Oh, you bastard. No, you didn't read the book then. Don't recommend a book if you didn't...
I basically read the book.
No. No, don't recommend a book if you didn't read the book. Recommend the Audible.
I read the book.
Recommend the Audible. Don't you dare. You said you read it in his voice. No, you heard it in his voice, you bastard.
It's called lying. I'm a liar.
God damn it. I trusted you. Anyway. Sorry about that. I've been catching up on a couple of my favorite shows. There's a, like... There's like three shows out right now that I was catching up on season twos. The Bad Batch, I haven't finished up yet. I'm still catching up on that. And then there was Rick and Morty. I'm still catching up on that one too. But I finally finished and I loved season two of Dave. If you have not seen the show, I've definitely talked about it before. It is starring Lil Dicky. It is autobiographical. It is about his life, kind of, because there are things in his life that are more or less true in this show. And it's basically going through the first couple of years of his success, so he's still getting big. It examines how the industry is, and it also examines what a narcissist Lil Dicky can be. It's a lot. It's very funny, absurd, weird. I don't know if this season was better than the first season, but I still loved the show. It was fantastic, and I think the ending of the show ended in a way, of the second season ended in a way that I absolutely loved, and I was just like... There's not a lot of shows that can get me out of my seat going like, yes, like, you know, I was fist pumping. I was excited. And that's I think, what you need from a finale, from an episode. So I definitely recommend Dave. It's probably my second favorite show on Hulu. It's fantastic.
Cool. I've never seen Dave, but you know, it's you and but some other people online have said really good things about it. I'm not crazy about Lil Dicky, but I do like some of his stuff. I might check this out.
Oh yeah, definitely check it out. Like it's ridiculously fun. There's so many episodes that are just discussion pieces. Like in the similar way of like Atlanta is like there's a lot of discussion pieces, but only I think they're weirder and dumber and funnier. It's a fantastic show, and it'll hit you surprisingly sometimes with a lot of emotion. So. It's a high recommendation for me. Definitely check out the first two seasons. They're both on Hulu right now. If you got Hulu, if you have FX, they're on FX. So go for it. But that's literally all we got this week. Thank you so much for listening. Ricardo, where can the fine people at home find you?
I'm on Twitter. I'm out there somewhere. You can find me at the @ Brickabrac. That's the word brick _ A _ Brac. BRAK. I really got to change that to something simpler.
Tweet at him if you want him to keep Brickabrac. It's fantastic. It's great. Good stuff. You can also find us at Live Action Remake on Facebook and Instagram. And you can find me at Action Remake Pod on Twitter as well. I think that's an episode, Ricardo.
This is a good show. Goodbye, everybody.
Yeah. Goodbye. Have a good one. Stay safe. Get vaccinated immediately, because we want to... I need to prove to him that Spider-Man 3 is real.
Nah, there's no... The science is not credible. I don't know if you've listened to Joe Rogan, but he said that Spider-Man 3 actually isn't real, so I'm going to go with that.
No, okay. No, the science is credible. Joe Rogan's wrong about Spider-Man 3, and you know what? Daredevil's in it, probably. I mean, I don't know, but it might be, and if it is, it's gonna be worth it. So just let's just hope for the best. Thank you so much for listening. Have a good one. Stay safe, wear a mask, and we're signing out.